Me, I ready for kickball. Ready for a lot of things, man. God has just been good and awesome in all of our lives. Anthony really hit on a message today that God kind of stirred it up in my heart about having intimacy with God and knowing that He's the only one that can open up a door in your life. Amen. Have you ever tried to struggle to open up a door by yourself and you couldn't get in? You know, it's certain things that you can do in your willpower, but there's certain things that you just can't do by your own will, that you need the help of the Lord. Amen. I banged my head many times in the world trying to open up some doors where I was like, Dad, man, I can't get it. But God's love opened up a door that I could not open up. Amen. And I was just kind of looking through some pictures. Y'all mind if I give a testimony this morning? I said, do y'all mind if I give a testimony? I know I got a testimony. You know, the Lord has really been good to me, man. And I was just thinking over the years about all the blessed things that God has done in my life. And when I was in college, I did some things that I shouldn't have done. And when I was in my neighborhood, I had some fights that I shouldn't got in. And I said, Lord, how can you use me when I've messed up so much? How can you use me when I'm not smart enough? And I had a learning disability. How can you use me? He says, listen, I'm not going to use you because you're smart. I'm not going to use you because you're worthy. I'm not going to use you because you're capable of doing everything perfect. I'm going to use you because you're not smart. I'm going to use you because you're not worthy. And you know to give me the glory. Amen. And so I began my journey around 22, 23, really seeking the Lord. And around my neighborhood, North City, I saw some violence. I saw some drugs. I saw some things that I really didn't want to see. And it disturbed my heart. And so I said, Lord, I want to do something about this. Amen. I just don't want to sit back and not do nothing. I said, place me in a position where I can help some of these people out. And a gentleman had came to me and said, do you want a job helping out, making sure these drugs stay off the streets, making sure that people don't get into fights and stuff? I said, yeah, I just prayed that yesterday. And the guy said, come to my office tomorrow. So I came to his office, and they had 12 candidates, a doctor, a teacher, and we was applying for this job. And everybody was just telling their degrees and stuff. And I'm like, God, why you bring me here to embarrass me? I ain't got no degree. I ain't got nothing. Yeah. Only thing I got is some nice pair of shoes and some nice pair of shirt. I said, man, I'm about to go home. And the Lord says, stay. I brought you here. And I stayed and I told the people, I said, listen, man, I'm just here because I love God. And I want to see good out of these streets. And I want to help teach some of the people about just how not to get into fights and stuff. And they said they had the interview with all the people around the table. Then we all went home. The next day, guess who they called back? They called me, amen. And that started my journey working with the Freeway Foundation. And the Lord opened up a door for me to teach about 50,000 students about drugs and violence, amen. And that really blessed my life. And it got to the point where some of the kids on the streets was calling me the drug man. They said, hey, mommy, that's the drug man. And I remember his mother had her purse like she's about to hit me. I said, hold on. I'm not the drug man. I ain't selling your kids drugs. I said, put your purse down, lady. I said, no, I was educating them on drug and education. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm about to get in with a ton of bricks. You know, y'all be carrying some stuff in your purse. And so, you know, it was a blessing. Then, when I had an intimacy with the Lord again, I said, Lord, there's something else disturbing my soul. We need to have some Jesus inside these classrooms. And I said, Lord, if you just open up an opportunity, a door, because I was trying to witness to this one girl after class, and his mother was like, what you doing? I said, I was just telling her about Jesus, because I said, you know what, never mind. I said, Lord, you open up a door. Open up a door where I can go into these schools and talk to the kids about Jesus. I don't know, but I've been up here 5 years talking about drugs and education, and they need something deep with Jesus. 2 weeks later, somebody said, do you want to go into the schools and preach the gospel? I said, yeah. He said, well, this guy just gave $500,000 he donated, and he want us to hire 4 people. Are you willing to do that? I said, I just prayed that, brother. He said, man, I think this is a divine appointment. I said, I think so too. Where do I sign up? So I end up working with CEF, and there was a ministry where we got to go into the schools and preach the gospel to the kids. Amen. Come on, say amen to that. And we had 900, we had 30 schools. I mean, me, Irvin, Sheku, a lot of us was into these schools. And these are some of the students that received Christ that day. But we ended up having about 900 students receive Christ, amen, out of all 30 of these schools. And that just blessed my socks off so much. I said, Lord, I know you got something even deeper for me. But guess what happened? I ended up getting fired. And they said, I'm sorry, your services are no longer needed, Wendell. We dried up out of funds. I said, Lord, you brought me all the way here. I quit my job at UPS. I said, you left me stranded, Lord. He said, I ain't leave you stranded. I'm moving you to the next place. You see, sometimes we think, oh, man, I got fired. This happened to me. And God's really promoting you to your next destiny. Never look at your backfalls as your backfalls. It's a setup so God can bless you even more. But where do you get that? I got intimate with God again. He says, listen, you know I'm supposed to have ministry here forever. I'm moving you forward. Then 2 weeks later, Billy Grandpa. And we end up working with him. Hey, how many of y'all heard of Rock the River? Okay, it was a ministry where 65,000 people got together, and my job was to just to give them the pamphlets to tell North City that, hey, Kirk Franklin going to be here, all these people are going to be here, and we end up doing that. Me, Irvin, Sheku, a lot of us, they not here right now, but they probably will be later, probably for the picnic, I don't know. Irvin always like so. But it was just an awesome testimony to see God bring 10,000 souls that day. Amen. And then bringing this church, and then the Lord doing so many open doors for me. And I was just like, Lord, when I look back over my life, I don't even deserve any of it. I said, why do you give this to me? He says, it's because of my grace. If you look upon yourself to see why you deserve, sometimes you may come up with a bounce check, amen. But if you look at God and say, what do you deserve? He wants you because he loves you, not because he just wants you to work. He wants you because he placed the price of your head. He placed his blood over your head, and he died for all of your sins. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:9 says this, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle. This is Apostle Paul speaking. Because I have persecuted the church. That means that Apostle Paul, he used to kill Christians, okay? Chop their heads off. He was worse than ISIS, amen? Because he had authorization to kill Christians. And so can you imagine Paul killing somebody in your family, and then 3 years later, 4 years later, now he's preaching the gospel? You'd probably be looking at Paul like, man, who you come and preach the gospel, man? You just chopped my cousin's head off. But guess what? It don't matter how people look at you. It only matter how God looks at you. You see, if you get hung up on people, you'll never go anywhere. You'll always stay stuck. What my friend said, what my mama said, get that out your head. It's what God said that's going to bring you to your next destiny. If you think it's you and what your parents say or what somebody negative said, that will never bring you into your destiny. You always have to reach somewhere where God says to you, then you move forward. Amen. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was within me. That means that our life is riding on the wings of love. Amen. You know, sometimes we can strive in life. Okay, what's my next thing? What am I supposed to do? How do I get my child saved? How do I get this person act right? And God says, listen, if you just open up your wings and fly. You know, an eagle can't flap his wings a lot because they're too heavy. But what they do, they get on a jet stream and they get on that air. And then they fly from state to state. Amen. Because you can't flap enough to make the things that you want to happen. You have to ride on the wings of God. And he will flow you into your next destiny. Wherever your destination is that you've been trying to get to, God said, I got your back. I got your back. I love you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I got some people that go, well, Wendell, but you got to work for God, though. Faith without works is dead. So you better do something. Yeah, you better get intimacy with God. Because if you don't do that, then you will not see the works of God. Come on now. You see, I remember my dad. You know, I heard some people, you got to be bold for God. And I was trying to be bold for God. And then somebody come up and I'll be shy for God. But when you bold for that, this is because you hear your daddy talk to you and you hear your father talk to you say, I got your back. But if you're not hearing it on a consistent basis, then you're going to walk out and not think that anybody got your back. I remember my father, when some bullies was messing with me in my neighborhood, my dad said, boy, you better not mess with my boy no more. I'm going to come out in the streets. I'm going to show you what's real. I said, get him, daddy, get him. I was about 7 years old. And then when I was walking on the streets then, when he said that, I was like, yeah, I wish I would. I just wish I would. I was bold after I heard the word of what he said. You see, you don't have no weak link father. You got a father that can take care of business. I call Keisha TCB, take care of business. You got a father that will take care of something that you can't take care of. And then there was something at school that happened where I said, okay, my dad can't help me here, Lord. What you gonna do? Because this one guy, he was a big wrestler, 270 pounds. He was trying to bully me one time. And I said, Lord, I'm standing up for you. This dude coming to me. And some guys had grabbed him and said, don't you ever put your hands on Wendell. I said, they don't even know who I am. They ain't know me, Anthony. And then I said, hold on. This is a reality. God is my protector. God is my provider. I can't be bold because I should try to be bold. I'm bold because I hear something when I spend time with him. I'm hearing that he wiped away my sins so I don't have a guilty conscience anymore. Well, you need to be patient. You better be patient. So we try to be patient, right? Okay, I can't be patient. I try. These people get on my nerves. It's traffic jam and I'm about to... You just don't know. You know how patience come? Patience come when he lets you know everything gonna be all right. You hear some say, I got your back. You hear some say, oh, don't worry. This ain't a setback. This is set up. You can chill, Wendell. I want you to rest and relax. And then you'll see somebody say, hey, man, hey, brother. You got a lot of patience. You got a lot of discipline, bro. I said, no, I really don't have patience. That patience is the fruit of the Spirit. I've been looking at my lover. He's been telling me I'm going to be all right. And I've been accepting it. I've been saying, yes, okay, it's going to be all right. Then I don't have to take no more Tylenol PM. And I can just sleep like a baby. But when I don't see that everything's going to be all right and I'm looking at my problems and I'm not looking at the Father, then patience won't have its perfect work. But when I hear him say, chill, relax. Work, if you're going to work on believing what his word says. Amen. How many of y'all want to know the works of God? This is what it says in John 6:28. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sinned. Y'all want to know the works of God? When you believe that Jesus took away your sins and you live guilt-free and you live like that, you ain't got to try to have peace. Peace will be produced out of your life. You ain't got to try to be patient. You ain't got to try to be bold. Boldness will be in your identity. You will be that eagle because you're soaring. You're not flapping. Flapping is for chickens and they never get off the ground. Eagles soar, baby. Yeah. And if a storm going, guess what? Eagles soar above the storm. They look down on the storm. They don't fly in the storm. Some of us, we trying to fight the storm. God never put you there and say, fight the storm, fight the devil. The Bible says, look at me, which cometh your help. Your help coming from the what? From the Lord, baby. I know it is, brother. But then here goes another trick. Oh, this grace message. It's so weak. It's a given. God loves it. He already gonna love it. I'm talking about what I can do. You know what? Grace may be free, but it ain't cheap. I remember just the other day I was at Wendy's. And I asked for some water because I just got through working out playing some tennis. And I got the little wink again from the brother. I'll go there and I say, can I get a cup of water? I'm thinking a little complimentary cup or something like that. And he gave me this real big old cup. I got you, big dog. Go ahead, take care of your business. I know you really want some soda. And you know what? I wouldn't have been wrong if I got some soda because he gave it to me, okay? But I paid for water. I didn't pay for water. I said, can I get a cup? And it was for free. But when I went over there to the water cup, I couldn't find the water. I seen Sprite, I seen Coca-Cola, I seen Pepsi, I seen all these products. And I couldn't, and then I seen this one little thing that said, water. And it was a little bit tablet. I said, dang, this all? I said, water is the best thing over here. And they got pictures of everything else. You see, sometimes the anointing can't be released out of your life because you're looking at everybody else. You're saying, oh man, look at that, look at that, look what that person doing. And God says, I'm trying to give you the very best thing. And it's not cheap. It's going to cause you to live. It's going to cause you to breathe again. When Satan trying to place his serpent around your neck and trying to squeeze you where you can't breathe, he says, listen, my water brings life. It brings liberty. But what about this? I don't see the big signs going on. I don't see this. You know, just look at your child and say, thank God that she's breathing. Just look at your brother and your sister and say, thank God I'm not in the hospital today. Just receive the simple things in life. Amen. And because we sometimes don't see the simple things in life, sometimes we just miss over it because it's just for free. It may not be a big name. God may give you something that's so simple. Maybe he just may give you a peace in a storm to say, everything gonna be all right. And you ain't got no definition on it. You ain't got no big label on it. But you just know, I got a feeling that I'm coming out. I can't put my hand on it. I can't tell you how I know. I just know, amen. You can't see the radio waves, but guess what? They going all through this room right now, amen. But we just have to tune in. And if we tune in, we'll hear it. You hear your Heavenly Father say, I've already worked this situation out before you even got here. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. The Bible says only a fool prepares himself. It says we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commends themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. You know who the standard is? The standard is Jesus. Have you did everything that Jesus done? Nope. Then guess what that caused you to do? Cry for grace and mercy. Then guess what? He boldly gives it to you. Then we receive it. We think this life about being perfect. We think this life is not about not making mistakes. No, no. This life is saying this. When you do make a mistake, and you will make a mistake, then you say, Lord, I made a mistake. Can you show me my identity? He shows it right to you without even a question. Then he places you right back on the track. Amen. Like the prodigal son that walked away. The Bible says when he came back, he slipped the ring on his finger and says, welcome back home to the family. And the prodigal son was about to fix his lips and say, but I've been, and he, you know, he just stopped him and said, here, fix the fatted lamb. Fix this for him. I'm bringing him back home. Then the older brother said, but what about me? You know what the older brother did? He was comparing himself. I did more than he did. Did you do more than Jesus do for you? Come on now. When you look at him, it causes you to beg God for grace and mercy because you know we haven't done everything right. But when you stare into the eyes, behold, what he's going to tell you is that I've made everything right when I went to the cross for you. Amen. I remember this UPS guy. He was a manager in the sort aisle. He was having a panic attack where He was just breaking down because he made all these mistakes. I said, brother, are you all right? He's like, no, man. I said, listen, man, God loves you. Don't worry about this, man. He gonna restore this because he messed up and he thought he was gonna get fired. I said, if you do, he'll give you another job. And he said, Wendell, and he kind of yelled at me. He said, listen, man, I know God loved me, brother. That's for free. I said, oh, okay. And he said, I'm talking about what I did, though. I said, listen, brother, you're having a panic attack because you are focused on what you did. If you focus on more of what he did, you wouldn't be tripping out like this. Then guess what happened? Something snapped in his eyes. He kind of, oh, yeah, that's right. Because he used to go to Bible study with us and stuff, or he heard about us going and he started wanting to come too. But the thing about it is, what's going to restore your eyes back to where you can see God again is when you hear him call you and you know that everything going to be all right. Oh, yeah, I know everything going to be all right. Yeah, you say that in your head, but do you know that in your heart? If Jesus came in this room right now and said, brother, I got a sister, I got a word for you. Do you think it's a judgment word that's going to condemn you? Or do you think it's going to liberate you, set you free? If he says, you know what, the fruits of the Spirit is patience, love, being kind. Do you think, oh yeah, I got to be patient, love, and kind? Or do you see Jesus being love, patient, and kind to you? That's the difference. It's the switch that says, listen, I got to get it before I get it. And when I get it out of the intimacy time of him, hearing him speak to me. And then I can get it. I heard somebody saying, man, ain't nobody doing me right. I ain't doing nobody else right. No, bro. No. Jesus did right by you by dying on the cross. Amen. He's the one that sets you free. Come on now. Philemon 6 says this, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What are you acknowledging right now? Are you acknowledging what I'm going to eat at the pickball? What are you acknowledging? Picnic? Are you acknowledging every good thing? Or are you acknowledging every bad thing? Amen? You know, I deal with people in my counseling clinic, and they come in kind of sad, and they leave out happy. You know why? Because joy is not something somebody can take from you. You see, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he don't come to steal, kill, and destroy your car, your house. He came to steal and destroy the destiny that's inside of you, that you're beautiful, that you're wonderful, that you're lovely, that you are made out of God's image. He said that to Paul right when Paul was cutting off somebody's head. How can you say this about this vicious man? He did this. He did that. God says, I'm not looking at he did this. He did that. I'm looking at what I have created out of him. You're so focused on what somebody did to you, how somebody hurt you, how somebody mistreat you. I'm looking at how blessed and beautiful you are. I call those things that are not as though they were. I look at the void and say there's light. I look at emptiness and say it's filled. I look at your dreams and say it's already done. I'm not trying to do it. I've already done it. That's the difference between stepping it and knowing that you got it from I think I got it, acting like Scooby-Doo. I don't know what's going to happen. No, God says, listen, you ain't got to wait, baby. Faith is now. I made you before you even was born. I let you know that you got destiny before you even got on this planet. You ain't got to wait for nothing. You can receive it right here, right now. Ephesians say, I've given you every spiritual blessing in every high place. So what's the blockers? Our own mind. Don't let this stop this. If you let this stop this. See, well, I can't teach no class. I was in school and I couldn't learn. I couldn't learn like the other kids could learn. And I was slow like, no. Yes and amen. I'm doing it. I'm taking it. Give it to me. It's mine. I can't teach kids how not to fight. That's all I did was get into fight. No, I can't do this. No. If God says that's me, that's me. But get get your butt out the way and let God do his butts. But I say you got the victory. But I say you are overcome. But I say you the head and not the tail. But I say I don't care what your past is. I only care what your future say, because I'm the one that's the author of your future. I'm your author. I'm your editor. I'm your director. I'm your healer. I'm your lover. I'm your... Come on now. You got to wake up in here and recognize there's a thief that's trying to steal your destiny. There's a thief that's trying to steal your dream, because he's trying to scare you to make you think that the stuff that you did in the past, it will affect the things that's coming in the future. Being scared is not in our identity. It's not even in our vocabulary. It's not even in our identity. Only thing that's in our identity is love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when you're not identified with that, you need to stop the car, stop the brakes, and say, stop the press, because your breath ain't fresh. I never, ever, ever had a person come in counseling that was crying, that was broken, that had a bad marriage, a bad this, and I say, oh man, that's jacked up. I don't know what you're going to do. You got to speak life in the midst of darkness. Because if you keep speaking, darkness is going to keep. Darkness ain't going to have darkness, and that's what we're going to be. But if you speak life in the midst of darkness, then you start something new going on. The devil don't know what to do. What? I can see a negative coming, but I don't even know why he's speaking so good about himself when he did so wrong. He must be listening to the master. He must be listening to the one that has more authority than I got. He must be tapping in somebody else. We gotta go, y'all. They done turned on the lights, and it's time to flee, because he's speaking victory. When the light come on, it's time to flee. That's the reason why when I speak forgiveness, love, well, I can't love. I can't forgive. Look what this person did with me. Bye-bye. But guess what? God don't forgive. I can always tell the darkness, because darkness, run. Take off. He got so much fear in his heart. But the light, it exposes. It says, you know what? Listen, I ain't running, babe. I'm loving. That's how Jesus loved us, right to the cross. He says, listen, I'm going all the way this time, and I'm going to show you. I'm taking away all your sins. Everything that you thought that can separate me from you is finished. And he said it right there on the cross. So it don't matter how many people like you or not. That doesn't matter for your dreams to come true. It don't matter how many likes you get on Facebook. It don't matter how many people like you. You only need one like, and that's Jesus himself. Instant message. He accepts you. He accepted your friendship. That's only one friendship that you should be concerned about. You know what the enemy wants? He wants you to be concerned about so many other things that you're missing the goose. You on the golden eggs. Oh, look at this golden egg. It's so nice. You see what they said about me? They like me. No. The goose like you. The goose can make more golden eggs. But we concentrated on money, cars, houses. It's a cool thing. But guess what? He's the one that can speak it into existence. He can speak things that you can't get. He can get houses that you can't get. My brother Irvin had a testimony. Somebody in his family, somebody just gave them a house. I'm talking about $300,000. Just paid it all off. Boom. Wow. It can happen. Like, what's the little kid on them? It can happen. When that thief comes, how many of y'all had a hard day and it was his hard to breathe? You go, and you take that deep breath. That's the enemy trying to choke you, because you're so cared about all the things of this world. You're so concerned that he wraps his little thing around your neck and he tries to strangle you. But if you want to breathe again, Tap into his grace. The Bible says it's by faith that you have access into grace. What is grace? Everything that God has said yes to in your life. So when I was walking with my hip and the doctor says, well, you're going to have to probably walk like this for the rest of your life and get a cane. I said, well, let me see what God has to say about this. And then when God says, I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, and I kept walking 3 more days with a broken, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm healed, God. He says, don't go by those feelings, go by what my word says. Your feelings can be misleading, man. And tell you some stuff that is so not true. But God, he will tell you everything that you need to know. Come on now, this is good. All right, this is the final scripture, amen. Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. I ain't no T.D. Jakes or nothing. But God. No, I'm not one of those. But I'm starting. I'm amped up this morning, though. Because in the spirit realm, I see a whole bunch of successful people in here in Christ. And then in the spirit realm, I see somebody that's trying to snatch that. Maybe from the past of what somebody hurt you from. Maybe from something that just stayed in your thoughts. And the Lord says, I'm cutting cords this morning. You know how a puppet get controlled? This is how I see in the spirit. A puppet get controlled by, and if somebody do this, you do this. Somebody do this, you do. He says, I'm cutting cords with my word. My word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm cutting all those lies that have stopped you from believing what your destiny is for your life. Cut. Let him cut. You know what he cut with? His love. It cuts like blood, baby. And it keeps on cutting. Yes. Think about this. Fix your thoughts on what is true. What is true in your life? What's true is it's messed up right now. What's true is what my bank account said. No, no, no. See, he said, like I said, the truth shall set you free. Not the true events in your life right now set you free. The truth is Jesus died for you. The truth is that he loved you. The truth is that you're going to be reigning with him forever. You looking at this problem like, oh, let me not. You looking at this problem like this going to reign forever. Like this going to be your new empire on this earth. Uh-oh. This ain't your empire. That's your empire. You're going to be reigning with him for thousands and thousands of years. You're going to look back and say, I was worried about that. And I'm a son of the king. No. You don't allow yourself to fly in storms. You fly over storms. Amen. Some of y'all are new, so y'all never heard this story. I remember when we was in a storm and we was hitting all these storms in this airplane. And the captain said, we going up 5,000 more feet. I said, 5,000? We need to go down. Tell them to go down. We need land. I mean, I'm telling you, man, this thing was bucking and shaking. And I'm like, man, oh, Jesus. And he went up. And next thing you know, I can look down. And I can see the lightning. And I'm like, oh, we above the storms. I'm thinking the storms is everywhere. I'm thinking the storms is surrounding us. That we can't rise above it. You see, you think your storms is bigger than God. God says, I'm bigger than your storms. Rise above it. Look down on your storms and speak over it. And says, you know what? I was worried about you. You under my feet. You have no authority over me unless I give you authority. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Delight yourself in the Lord this today. Amen. Everybody just close your eyes. Bow your heads. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you know how to make a way out of no way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for cutting the cords of the lies that people have believed today, Lord, that they are set free. They are made righteous by you dying on the cross for them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for taking away my sins. And you rose for me, Jesus, on the third day. And by your stripes, Jesus, I am healed. I'm set free. By your stripes, I'm in your family. Because you took away my sins. And I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name. Now keep your eyes closed. This is just a personal decision. If that was your very first time asking Jesus into your heart, and you receive him as your Lord and your Savior today, everybody with your eyes closed, just raise your right hand. I see. Amen. I see. You can put your hands down now. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody can go put your hands up. Amen. To that person that raised their hand, you are in the family of Christ. Amen. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Your destiny is locked in him. Amen. He says he placed the eternal seal inside of you that no man can open. Amen. And when you made the decision to come to the Lord today, as you make him your Lord, your Savior, you made the best decision in this life. Amen. We're going to start you off with a Bible. When we finish and we're breaking down everything, I would just want you to come see me today. And we're going to start you off on track so you can start learning about your new identity in Christ. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. Come on now. God and his Holy Spirit is the only one that can draw a person's heart to say, yes, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Amen. And so we always just thank God for that. Amen.
Good morning. That was good, wasn't it? I'm so glad that we are a church that's filled with grace and have received grace. I'm here, and this is